Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 169. 169 weeks of us bringing you all the hottest stories that Microsofties are pinging each other about. And last week, we had asked you people, you viewers, you Niners, how you're planning on spending your Valentine's Day. And we got a lot of good responses, which I want to go over. But Paul, I'm going to check in with you first. How did you spend your Valentine's Day? Did you get covered in chocolate and kisses and chocolate kisses?
No, I didn't get covered in chocolate or chocolate kisses. I did get to spend some time with my girlfriend and her family, and that's the best I could hope for. I did get a surprise gift for Valentine's Day. I got a toothbrush.
Was that a hint?
That may be a hint. But it's awesome. It's one of the high end
Sonicare.
Yeah, like diamond something with extra something.
Who got this for you? Did your girlfriend get this for you?
Yeah, actually, my girlfriend and her mom, we went to Costco together because we were gonna make this great meal, and somewhere along the line during that time, the mom snuck away and she went and bought this for my girlfriend to give to me, and this whole time I had no idea, so. When I showed up later that night, she had this wrapped gift, and I said, "Oh, when did you have time to get this?" And she was like, "Oh, well, my mom actually got it when we were at Costco together." And I was like, "Oh, I can never trust you two again."
Right. And so now, not only does your girlfriend know that you have halitosis, but her mom knows as well, and now all Channel 9 knows too.
Yeah. Good thing only about 20,000 to 60,000 people view this every week.
I already knew. Because we had you in studio last week. Thank you for that, Paul. Thank you for your appearance.
Yeah, it was fun to be there. I'm glad that Alex from Gamer Loop could also go in there and talk about his product. And we even drew out some internet celebrities like Dan276, also known as B-Boy360.
I know. It's amazing. Yeah, you never know who's out there lurking, watching, judging.
I'm surprised that we forgot to put him in the quick links. So good thing Golnaz was there to edit all the description. But there were some folks. Sheldon S said that for Valentine's Day he hid a couple of cards in obvious places for his wife to find, and then took his lunch break to surprise her with flowers in person. That reminds me, when I was growing up, my dad would actually hide gifts under my pillow and my sister's pillow, and he would always let us know that there were gifts hidden somewhere and we had to go find them. So then we were immediately trained to just run into our rooms and lift up our pillows and, oh yeah, that's the obvious place where all gifts are stored.
Very nice. I also wanted to. A lot of people mentioned that they did something romantic and then did other stuff. So it's good to see that we have all gentlemen in our audience. My favorite comment of all the comments last week had to come from. First I'll tell you the comment, and it says, "Who's that guy? And where's that head in the rectangle?" Obviously referring to Paul. And the name of the comment, the guy who made that comment, was called the Rectangle Head Fan. So Paul, he misses you. You know, it's a kind of like you're like the Max Headroom of Ping, and he likes you just where you belong in your little rectangle here on the to my right. Should we start the show, Paul? You didn't even ask me about my Valentine's Day.
How was your Valentine's Day, Laura?
Well, first of all, I'm going to complain a little bit because I didn't get the wearable sleeping bag that I really really wanted. I don't know if you've seen this, but it's awesome. I'll put a link to it so you guys can all go and buy yourselves one too, because I'm gonna have to go get myself one now because I did not get it for Valentine's Day. But I did spend Valentine's Day playing with my Wii.
Stop the program.
So played a little Dance Central with my Wii. I have to admit that's the Wii is just fun. It's just easy, and kids can play it, and the games are just good times.
So the Wii or the Kinect?
I played it on the Wii, you know, because I find the Kinect, because it's a little bit more advanced of a gaming system, obviously, and it's more difficult for children to play, whereas with the Wii, it's a lot easier. I think it's a little bit more lenient and forgiving, and so kids can actually not fail miserably, whereas with the Kinect, it's for grown-ups, really.
Did you see the memo about this?
So if you're playing with children, the Wii is the pick-up-and-play, in my opinion.
And there are dance games that you can play with like a with the motion controller.
Yeah, Dance Central. So essentially, it's only judging like what you do with your hand that holds the remote. But
Oh,
you
man.
do the whole body. You do the whole body just to like, you got to get in the groove. So I'm pretty sure that, I mean, I'm probably setting records. I'm really good at it.
Let's get the show started.
If you must, if you must. All right, Paul. So last week, the good old boys and girls over at Google put out a video about their glass, where these sort of augmented reality glasses, and the thing went wild all over the internet. And what it is, it's sort of a, it's a, it's a, it's an envisioning video. It's something that's not out yet. Something it's that maybe will come out. We think it will be like this. It's a product of the future, and people, of course, got all excited about it. Well, there's also another video with this sort of product of the future theme that didn't get quite as much hype, although I think it is absolutely cool, just as cool. And it's a video about sort of a hotel room of the future made by these boys, a developer team called the Serrano Brothers. Did you get a chance to check it out?
Yeah, I saw like a little 3 or 4 minute video that showcased what this future hotel room concept could be, and I thought there were definitely some cool parts to it.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I travel a lot, and I know you used to travel a lot. I don't know what you're doing nowadays, now that you have no income. But back in the day, we all have been in hotel rooms, and I find that I'm becoming more and more of a hotel snob. And so some of the things that they show that is potential, like essentially there's a bed, and the bed is surrounded by four big walls, and each of those walls is a touch screen. And you can do basically everything that you could ever want, from check the news to order room service, whatever you want, with these huge, massive touch screens. And in the article, it says that this is something that seems very far away. And I don't think it really needs to be that far away. Like, I think the technology is really there. It's just probably nobody can afford it to put in your hotel room. It'd be a very
Right.
pricey room for however long you were staying there. It'd be a very expensive one night stay. But I feel like this is something that's really within our reach from a technology angle.
Yeah, the screens aren't just massive touch screens, they're transparent touch screens. So there was a technology that was showcased, I think, in the 2012 CES from Samsung, where they had some glass that they could turn into. They could change like trans from it being transparent to it being opaque, and to be able to show like little digital shutters. And this is a similar concept where you can have these semi-transparent displays where you can turn it into something that you can see through or not see through. So you
Which
can
is
kind of.
essentially Google Glass as well.
No, it's
No, no.
Maybe next time.
Very, I think it's. Than Google Glass. I mean, this is on a much larger scale, and it's I don't think Google Glass will ever completely block your vision. It's something that overlays on
Listen, I'm
top of the
just talking
glass.
about the idea that the glasses, you could see through the glass, Paul. That's all I'm saying.
Right, but with the thing in the hotel, you can make it so that you can't see through it, so you can have some layer of privacy there as well. And I think the coolest part of it was not necessarily in things like having the ability to check the weather or get current events, but I thought from like a sleeping perspective, there was a sleep in space mode where you could actually see like all these different planets, and you could have like each of the screens kind of have you floating through space, so it's pitch black in the hotel room, and then you're now in like another dimension. You're out in space. I thought that was probably the coolest part of it.
Yeah, really cool. And I remember, there's a rumor years ago, it may still be going around, I don't know, that, Bill Gates' house has these walls that change color. But, and he can make them be red one day and blue the next, and they change color based on his mood or based on the person that is identified when they walk in the room. And, this is something that I heard like 10 years ago, and I was like, whoa, that's, oh my God, that's amazing. And what this is essentially a step closer to that. So now you've got these walls in your hotel room that could clearly change color, or they could become the Milky Way, or they could become your, newspaper headlines, whatever you want. So what used to be just an urban legend is coming to real life, Paul.
Well, I think it's still... Well, I think it's still just a proof of concept, but I would like to see this actually become a reality in like a prototype so that you could visit it. I may be spending some time over in Spain this summer, so it'd be cool to go check these folks out in Madrid and maybe do a segment for Ping.
Yeah, I mean, did you see the office envisioning video that came out a couple of years ago where it had a lot of the same things? It had students in classrooms writing on glass that could either be transparent or opaque. Children on both sides of it interacting. I mean, it's a lot of the same idea. So obviously it's something that multiple companies and multiple areas within our company are working towards.
Yeah, and I think that Microsoft is one of a handful of companies that can really try and take this to the masses. So I hope that, you know, there's great software out there to empower developers so that they can actually have great experiences versus really, really expensive hardware and clunky software that just kind of, you know, gets people excited, but ultimately disappoints them.
You sound bitter and poor, Paul. All right, Paul, a couple weeks ago we talked about some ad campaigns that the Outlook team was working on and whether or not we liked them or disliked them. We asked our audience what they thought of them. And honestly, what we think, apparently, I don't know if it was good or bad, helpful or hurtful, but the Outlook.com, the team, or and Outlook.com has added 1.5 million users in the past 24 hours from when this headline was written. And they said it was about 60 million users now using Outlook.com during the six-month preview that it's been available. So they're doing something right over there. People are liking it.
I think a lot of people, even a lot of the Microsoft naysayers out there, had to admit that the new minimalist style that was offered by Outlook.com was very compelling. And that it's very simplistic, it's very quick, it's very easy to use, and it is a stark contrast to the perception of what people had for Hotmail. And they think that a lot of people are likely to switch away from Gmail because Gmail has become a behemoth and lots of features, and it's slowed down over the years. And even a lot of the people that are, you know, again, like the Microsoft naysayers are giving Outlook.com a shot. I think it's amazing that, you know, Microsoft just has this incredible reach where when they take the Outlook.com out of beta mode and into the, or out of the preview mode and into the release mode, and now I think they're actually siphoning all of the new Hotmail signups to actually use the Outlook.com views by default, that you can see that, you know, Microsoft is certainly in it to win it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, kudos to that team. I use it personally, and I have absolutely no complaints. So if anyone out there is looking to try a new webmail provider, why not? Everyone else is doing it.
Yeah. And you can also, I think you can transition your existing Hotmail accounts into Outlook. I think there's some process for doing that, and if you don't actively do it now, I think you will eventually just be migrated.
Yeah, I think it will become automatic. So
yeah, the Hotmail experience to Outlook.
Cool. All right, Paul. So I watch a lot of CSI, Law and Order, all of those crime-fighting shows, and you know, sometimes I'm watching, and in there, you know, when all the cops are gathered, they've got some amazing technology that they're using in their, you know, headquarters, whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. Why should really have that? Well, apparently, unbeknownst to us, the New York City Police Department has partnered with Microsoft. And this has been up and running for about the past year, where they actually have the technology that does this. So they've got what they call a dashboard. And it essentially gives you live updates and maps and information all right there at the touch of a policeman's fingertips.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive array of technology to combine all of these different sensors and disparate data sources and records to make it easy so that when a potential terrorist attack or important crime or something that's happening in the moment, there's just all of this information that can be compiled and presented in a useful fashion to help diagnose the likely culprit in near real time.
Right. So especially for emergencies that require action and decision making right that second, what used to take a long time for people to gather certain research and you know information to get all sort of hold together is now available right at your fingertips.
Yeah, it's both incredibly impressive and a little bit scary. This is something that Microsoft and the NYPD have been working on since 2009, and it's cost about $30 to $40 million to build. But it incorporates all sorts of data ranging from arrest records and 911 calls to live feeds from 3,000 security cameras and data from radiation detectors and license plate readers. So these are all sets, like all sorts of interesting data streams that had already existed. Now it's actually putting them to good use by combining all of them together so that you can get the data that you want when you want it.
Yeah, you know, I lived in New York City when Giuliani started putting cameras in like parks and certain corners and things like this. And at the time, I was outraged because that was, you know, invading my privacy and all this other stuff. But now that I don't live there and I'm not really a criminal anymore, I think this is just fabulous.
Yeah,
keep our nation safe.
This is something where like the data and everything has already been out there and it's already been collected, but now it's being put to more useful use, I guess is no terrible way of phrasing that. But it's something where I think that now that you can get all of this information at your fingertips in the department, like it's also something that needs to be used with a good degree of you know social responsibility.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm excited that that New York City is had it. Hopefully, it's making New York City safer, stopping potential terrorists and bomb threats. And I'm sure that this will be in police departments nationwide eventually. And so, you know, just kudos to everyone who worked on that.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what Microsoft does with the potential licensing of this software. Like they said that if they do license it to other police departments, that they'll actually give a 30% cut to the NYPD.
Oh, very cool. All right, Paul. So we've talked about the Imagine Cup many, many times over the lifetime of Ping, and now they've actually gone ahead and created a new category, which is interesting because. Not only to me as a woman, but it's interesting to see new categories offered because it's not often that they change up their regimen. And what they're doing now is they're creating a category for developers that create things that empower women. Now, just to be clear, this category isn't only open to women. It's open to anyone who enters the Imagine Cup, but the software or the technology that they create must be something that will be impactful on the lives of women. You know, in the past, they've had categories like ways to, you know, be more green and ways to create sustainable energy and all this stuff. And so now, apparently, they've kind of not the theme for the entire Imagine Cup, but this a new category specifically dedicated to empowering women. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think each year there are different incentives that are put out there. I think last year we talked about how, you know, there could be a bonus if you included like the Windows stack in your final submission, or if you have both like a mobile device and a cloud service that's attached to it. And similar to the green type bonuses that you could get before, now this coming year there is the Women's Empowerment Award, which was established in partnership with the UN Women, which is an organization that is working to accelerate gender equality and empowerment of women. And this, what I really liked about this was that it puts the incentives there to build a solution that will help achieve that goal, but it doesn't restrict who can build that solution. Sure, it may provide incentives and for women to try and get a more representative sample out there. I think last year they said there were only 20% of the finalists that were women, Which obviously seems a bit underrepresented from the population, but it could be representative of the amount of women that are interested or pursuing careers in computer science and engineering.
We need to bump up that number. Where
yeah,
my girls at?
And that's why I really like the way that the Women's Empowerment Award is structured, because it says, you know, we really want to help women in these specific types of ways, and what better way to do that than to, you know, be a woman in computer science, being able to scratch your own itch and know like the problems that you're experiencing and develop a solution for it, but you're not excluding men from being able to address that, or teams that are both men and women. There's also a second challenge called the Women's Athletics App Challenge, and this is specifically for all female teams worldwide, and that's to compete to code like the best sports, fitness, and athletic apps. And then if you do get that, you have a chance to have a private meet and greet with a Seattle Storm basketball player, watch a game on the Storm's home court in Seattle, and you will also receive a $1,000 prize per team member. But that one is limited just to all female teams.
Awesome. Well, check back for Ping and Imagine Cup TV, of course, to find out more on this, and hopefully we'll get to talk to or talk about at least some of the winners of these categories. I can't wait to see what you guys create. All right, buddy, that is it for this week. We are out of here. Paul, you are missed. It was nice to have you briefly, but you're back in your rectangular box where you belong. And before we go, we want to throw out a quick question of the week. So we talked about Outlook.com getting 1.5 million new users in 24 hours. And we wanted to know what it is about the web-based email application that you're currently using that you either love or hate or wish it had or wish it didn't have. And then compare that to Outlook.com. Does Outlook.com provide you with something that maybe what you were using before didn't? Does that make sense, Paul? Did I ramble?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that it's interesting to know like what the advanced use cases are, or sometimes the simple things that new email applications don't usually have. Like when Gmail first came out, a lot of people had poo-pooed it, saying it was too simple, but then got lots and lots of usage and engagement right away. And I'm interested to see what the engagement will be with Outlook.com. So if you guys like it, or if it's missing like a feature or two, let us know, and we'll chat about it on the next show.
All right, sounds good. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter @LFoy.
And me @Bolness.